Season 8 season finale of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. A big thank you to Hooters right off the top. Hooters pays for this podcast, so you do not pay for this podcast. They've been doing that for 7 years. I hope they're back for a season 9. Even if they're not, I thank them from the bottom of my heart because there's so much paid fantasy content out there. And I told you I would never be a part of that. So because Hooters the last 7 years has paid me to do this podcast for you, you do not pay for it. Thanks to Hooters, celebrated their 40th anniversary in 2023. We were there twice for our podcast league drafts and for a special and sort of an intimate gathering by invite at the original location on Gulf to Bay in Clearwater from friend and fantasy guy Tony Metzler, who has been working for Hooters for a long time. Thanks to Hooters. And if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, you can visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you. Thanks to all of you for listening. Whether you've been with me all 8 seasons, first season we were sponsored and presented by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. They are still a huge supporter of what I do. They play in the podcast leagues, but they're a huge supporter of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments and, of course, Hooters the last 7 seasons. So thanks to you. And thanks for just playing fantasy football. Fantasy football just continues to grow. It's something I really enjoy. I hope you get as much or more enjoyment out of playing fantasy football as I do. And thanks for tuning in or subscribing, whatever you choose to do, to this podcast at any point over the last 8 seasons for a second opinion or just to hear some fantasy talk. You can always contact me in the off season if you have any fantasy questions. Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. This is the season finale for the Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm looking forward to next year already. Already have some thoughts on what I'm going to do with the foundation, which I finally won this year, and the podcast leagues won by Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford and longtime podcast player, league player, and podcast supporter Chris Martin. About what I'm going to do next year. We could actually have a League of Champions that's exclusive to champions only. I got time to work on it, but with Hooters' help, we'll be back with the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast on or around before, on or after August 1st of 2024 to start talking fantasy football again with you. I just want to recap the big board. Total points scored in my 21st century standard scoring settings for the first 17 weeks of the season, even though none of my leagues played 17 weeks. We rolled it back to week 16. Thankfully, every game going into week 17 had integrity in at least one team being alive for a playoff spot. So that was good. There were some injuries before and during games that I'm sure impacted fantasy players who were playing championship week in week 17, but that can happen any week. So it wasn't like week 17 last year, but still I want to go based on teams playing 16 games, one bye week. Granted, players didn't necessarily play every week, but I want to look at the big board, and this is what I put together and I'll look at all off season, and it'll shape many, not all, many of my decisions going into fantasy drafts in 2024. Let's just do the overall top 10, and then we'll go by position. And the overall number one performer for the 4th year in a row may have been questioned by some coming into the season, questioned by some, middle part of the season, in the end, in my scoring settings, once again, nobody outscored Josh Allen. Nobody. I had him at 343 plus points on the season. He rushed for 15 touchdowns and 457 yards. He threw for 27 touchdowns, just under 4,000 yards. This is all based on week 1 through 17 numbers only. 16 picks, so that hurt him in my leagues where it's minus 2 for a pick and an additional minus 2 if it's a pick 6. He did not have any pick 6s. 3 two-point conversions, 3 lost fumbles. Once again, 4 years in a row, Josh Allen, the number one player in my fantasy football leagues. Number two is Jalen Hurts. We'll break down the numbers more by position here in a moment. I just want to do the overall top 10. Jalen Hurts, 2. Christian McCaffrey, 3. I know many of you, I guess ESPN leagues had it at 57% of fantasy owners made a championship game if they had Christian McCaffrey in their lineup or on their roster. McCaffrey goes down in that game, limited production in that game, but number 3 overall for the season, and as we talked about on many podcasts, justified what I talked about here on the podcast with you and what I did in the Foundation League, drafting him overall number 1, not a wide receiver, drafting Christian McCaffrey number 1 overall. Lamar Jackson was overall 4. Dak Prescott overall 5. Jordan Love up to overall 6. Yeah. Brock Purdy overall 7. Patrick Mahomes overall 8. So as bad of a year as it was for Mahomes, he still was the 8th player in my scoring, best player in my scoring setting. CeeDee Lamb, first wide receiver off the board through 17 weeks at overall 9. Tyreek Hill overall 10. Let's go ahead and do 12. Mostert overall 11, and Baker Mayfield was overall 12. So now let's go by position. Let's just do the quarterback since we're obviously talking about a bunch of them atop the overall rankings. Josh Allen 1, Jalen Hurts 2. Hurts with the 15 rushing touchdowns, same as Josh Allen, but of 144 more yards rushing. Significantly more attempts. He did have 5 lost fumbles. No two-point conversions for Jalen Hurts. He threw for 23 touchdowns, 14 picks, 3,803 yards. So despite the late season swoon by the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, QB2, behind Josh Allen. Basically right where Jalen Hurts was last year in a Super Bowl season. For the Eagles. Lamar Jackson up to QB3. Those who made the investment in Lamar Jackson, it paid off for them. QB3, he rushed 148 times for 821 yards and 5 touchdowns. It's the most rushing yards for a quarterback this season in fantasy. Only the 5 touchdowns, 6 lost fumbles, 1 two-point conversion. He threw for 3,678. That's a good number. That's a good number. I mean, Josh Allen threw for 3,947. So basically, Lamar Jackson had sort of one big game, one good game passing yardage less than Josh Allen did and projected over a season. You can live with that. 24 touchdowns passing. That was one more than Jalen Hurts and only 3 less than Josh Allen. Only 7 picks. Jackson threw half the picks Hurts did. And 9 less than Josh Allen did. Dak Prescott, 4. QB4. 2 rushing touchdowns, 242 yards rushing, but leads the league through 17 weeks with 32 passing touchdowns, just 8 picks, and 42-37 on the passing yardage, more than Josh Allen, more than Jalen Hurts. Jordan Love, QB5. 38-43 on the passing yardage, 30 touchdowns on an exceptionally young team in his first year as a starting quarterback, 11 picks. He ran for 4 touchdowns and 248 yards. Brock Purdy, QB6. Threw for 4,280. That's even more than Dak. Threw for 31 touchdowns, only one less than Dak. 11 picks, what, 4 of them in the game against the Ravens, or was it 5? Rushed for 2 touchdowns, 144 yards. Big year for Purdy. Mahomes down to QB7. Threw for 4,183. So almost as much as Dak and Brock. Threw for 27 touchdowns. Exact same as Josh Allen. 14 picks. Less than Josh Allen. Same as Jalen Hurts. The rushing wasn't there. He ran for 389 yards in 75 attempts. Did not have a rushing touchdown. No two-point conversions. By the way, Dak had a couple of two-point conversions. So did Jordan Love. And Mahomes had 3 lost fumbles. Baker Mayfield, QB8, threw for 39.07, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks, 1 rushing touchdown. That was late in the season on 57 attempts for 156 yards, 2 two-point conversions, 3 fumbles. Jared Goff, probably a surprise to some this isn't higher, that he was QB9. Goff threw for 42.55, 28 touchdowns, 12 picks. Gets you nothing on the ground. 32 carries, 21 yards. Did have 2 rushing touchdowns, 4 lost fumbles, 2 two-point conversions. Russell Wilson was 10th. 3 rushing touchdowns, threw for 26 touchdowns. Threw for 3,070 yards. Tua Tagovailoa, QB11 for the season. 44.51 in yardage, better than anybody. 28 touchdowns, really good. 12 picks, again, gets you nothing with his legs. 34 carries, 67 yards, no touchdowns, no two-point conversions, 5 lost fumbles. Only Lamar Jackson had more among people we've talked about. C.J. Stroud was next, so that's QB, what, 13? 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. C.J. Stroud was QB 12 in a big year for C.J., 3 rushing touchdowns, threw for 21 touchdowns, only 5 picks, missed a few games late in the season due to injury. Then Sam Howell, then a disappointing Trevor Lawrence. Matt Stafford pushed late, helped win me my championship. I started him in the playoffs. Justin Herbert injured late in the season, but it wasn't a good fantasy year for Herbert the second half. Then Justin Fields, who missed time due to injury as well. Derek Carr coming on late, but wasn't a QB1. We went through the Josh Dobbs thing. What an odd year in the life of Josh Dobbs. Imagine if Netflix was with him the whole way. From Cleveland to Arizona to Minnesota to budding star to can't get on the field when Minnesota needs a quarterback. Geno Smith missed some time, but a significant drop-off for Geno Smith. Then down to Kirk Cousins, who got hurt, obviously, and Joe Burrow, who got hurt as well. There were your quarterbacks for the 2023 season using just Week 17 numbers. Let's do wide receiver, tight end, flex numbers. Comparing them at the same time. CeeDee Lamb, 1. Tyreek Hill, 2. Mike Evans, 3rd. Wide receiver, 3 for the season. Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And goes into Week 18 just 14 points away from being the 3rd. And 3rd all-time leading scorer for an NFL franchise who's not a kicker. Amon-Ra was 4. A.J. Brown, 5. He didn't get in the end zone the last month. That knocked him down a peg. Put up huge numbers when the Eagles were just an undefeated or a one-loss team. D.J. Moore ends up wide receiver 6. Mea culpa for me there. Career highs for D.J. Moore. Puka Nacua, rookie. Wide receiver 7 for the season. Deebo, Wide receiver 8. There are moments where it feels like 2021 again. It felt like 2021 again for Debo. We'll see what he does in the playoffs to help the Niners try to finally finish the job and get Shanahan and John Lynch and the organization their first Super Bowl since Super Bowl 29. Ayuk was next. Again, just the most efficient wide receiver per reception in the NFL on a team with McCaffrey and Samuel. Ayuk in my fantasy settings was still wide receiver 9. He was the only player that I drafted in the early rounds in both leagues. And he paid off. 1,317 receiving yards on 72 catches. 7 touchdowns. Just 1 lost fumble. So he was 9. So that makes Keenan Allen 10, who was much higher. And then he got hurt, and Herbert got hurt, and Staley finally was out the door. Dealt with a lot there. Jamar Chase was 11. Finished wide receiver 11, obviously. There was a lot going on there with Burrow in and out of the lineup, and then Chase was injured. DK Metcalf was 12th. That's a lot higher than I thought he was. I just really remember one big game for DK and a loss at Dallas the Thursday after Thanksgiving. But still, 65 catches, 1,104 yards, 8 touchdowns for the first 17 weeks. Stephon Diggs dipped down to wide receiver 13 at the end. On 100 catches for 1,096, 8 touchdowns. What, all but one of those before week 10? Wide receiver 14 was Amari Cooper. Many of you have Amari to thank for winning a fantasy championship single-handedly, pushing you over the top in week 16 in what was championship week for my leagues, but semifinal weeks for all of you. Then he didn't play week 17 due to a heel injury. Nico Collins, wide receiver 15 on the season, and he missed some time, and Stroud missed some time. Devontae Adams finished wide receiver 16, despite all the issues with the Raiders. Devontae Smith, wide receiver 17. Devontae Smith was a legit wide receiver too. Kind of what I projected going into the season. It didn't start off well, but in the end, he got there. George Pickens finishes the year wide receiver 18. Wow. Didn't seem like it. Not sure what his future is. Wide receiver 18 for Pickens. 63 for 1140 and 5 touchdowns. The first tight end on the board of the wide receiver tight end flex rankings, Sam Laporta. Wow. 81 for 860 and 9 touchdowns. Wide receiver tight end flex 19. Jaden Reed. When the Packers need a big play, they've been going to that guy. He scored 10 touchdowns this year. 2 rushing, 8 receiving, touched the ball 71 times. Bottom 5 of the wide receiver tight end flex, Jordan Addison, Michael Pittman, George Kittle up to tight end 2, DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver tight end flex 24, pretty good considering the rotating quarterback situation in Tennessee and featuring Derrick Henry, and Calvin Ridley, wide receiver 25 for the season. I know some expected much bigger things for Ridley, especially after week 1, but in the end, he was almost a wide receiver 2. He was, you know, more of a solid wide receiver 3 or a flex play. Do we do just a few more there? Let's just run down wide receiver tight end flex 26 through 50, okay? Rashee Rice, Chris Olave, Cortland Sutton, Zay Flowers, Jacoby Myers. That's 30. 31 through 40. Thielen, Waddle. There's Kelsey at 33. McLaurin, Hockenson, 35. Godwin, 36. Njoku, 37. All of it with Joe Flacco, basically. Tank Dell, 38. Injury, a abruptly ended his season. Gabe Davis bubbles up to 39, just enough to tease you into rostering him and starting him. Romeo Doubs, 40. Garrett Wilson, 41. I know that hurt a lot of you when you expected him to be paired with Aaron Rodgers. Justin Jefferson, wide receiver, tight end flex, 42. That's all he gave you this year, for those of you who took him over McCaffrey. Brandon Cooks, wide receiver, tight end flex, 43. Tyler Lockett was down this year to 44. Cooper Kupp, 45. Cole Kmet, 46. Evan Engram, 47. Just couldn't score forever. Taysom Hill, 48. Staying relevant. Drake London, with a new quarterback in Atlanta. Arrow points up, and hopefully a new coach and play caller, 49. And Jake Ferguson sneaks in there at wide receiver, tight end flex, 50. Let's do running backs. We'll just do the top 24. McCaffrey 1, Mostert 2, Kyren Williams 3. Boy, did that work out for me. In the foundation, I picked up Kyren Williams on waivers in week 3. Then he got hurt. We don't have IR. I had to cut him, but I said to myself, monitor his injury situation, monitor the news, make sure you get him back, because he may help you win a fantasy championship. I picked him up 2 weeks before he came back to play. He was still there. Played him through the playoffs. I mean, he kept Gibbs on my bench in the fantasy playoffs. But I mean, in my fantasy playoffs in week 15 and week 16, I lined up with the top two projected running backs for both my playoff games, McCaffrey and Williams. I had no place to play Gibbs because of those two guys, and it paid off with a fantasy championship. Kyren Williams in 2024 drafts is going to be a first-round pick. Kind of an amazing rise there for him. And they were big on him at the end of last year, but we just didn't know what to make of the Rams this year. And Cam Akers was still there at the start of this season. ETN 4, most of that in the front half of the season, but RB 4, Derrick Henry, RB 5. He doesn't have a contract beyond this year. We're not sure what the future holds for Derrick Henry. This may have been it for him as a fantasy RB 1. Rashad White up to RB 6 on the season from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That will be sort of a dangerous early round pick next year. And as someone who holds drafts in the Tampa Bay area, there's going to be a regional bias towards White, and that's going to be very dangerous because he's really not a true running back. But he did put up fantasy numbers this year, and he helped the Bucs get in position to go to the playoffs. RB7 was still Joe Mixon, and it was the touch counts. Mixon with 294 touches of the football and 10 touchdowns and a two-point conversion through 17 weeks. Breece Hall got up to RB8 despite not having a quarterback. Pretty damn impressive. Talented player. And he had offensive linemen going down left and right. James Cook got up to RB9. Couple of big games in the early weeks and then not again until the Bills switched coordinators. But James Cook certainly paid off for owners who invested a draft pick in him. David Montgomery ended up RB10, just ahead of Gibbs. Are you kidding me? So through 17 weeks, in my scoring settings, Montgomery 181.2 points, Jahmyr Gibbs 181.1 points. How about that? Montgomery scored 12 times, Gibbs scored 10. Montgomery had a two-point conversion. So Montgomery was RB10, Gibbs RB11, Gus Edwards RB10, 13 rushing touchdowns there. RB13, Pacheco. RB14 was Bijan Robinson. We all know it could have been so much better. What a ride we were on with him. Jerome Ford finished RB15 through 7 weeks. 9 touchdowns. Touched the ball 243 times this year with the early Chubb injury. RB16 was Kenneth Walker III. RB17, very disappointing year for Saquon Barkley. 8 touchdowns, tandem yards, a little over 1,100. RB18 was DeAndre Swift after 3 weeks. That looked like it was going to be, top 8? Then Alvin Kamara, still a ton of receptions. I don't think anybody had more receptions as a running back than Kamara, but just didn't score a lot of touchdowns. Only scored 6 touchdowns, same as DeAndre Swift, but 75 receptions for 466, ran for 694, started the season suspended. Brian Robinson next. Tony Pollard, Matthew Berry talks openly, probably the biggest disappointment in fantasy football this year, because it wasn't injury related. I guess you could say it was, it might have been related to him coming off injury last year, but for those who invested an RB1 type pick in a Tony Pollard, you didn't get the return on your investment. He just can't get the tough yards. He just can't run between the tackles. Pollard finishes the year with 5 rushing touchdowns on 935 yards rushing. No receiving touchdowns. None. 295 yards receiving. As Dallas went more to a throw it downfield offense after the loss of the 49ers, it basically phased Pollard out of the offense. And the Cowboys will need a tough between the tackles early down running back next season. Pollard doesn't have a contract, I believe. I believe he played on the franchise tag or something like that. Achan had those unbelievable first few weeks, then got hurt. It wasn't sustainable when he came back, and Mostert was cranking out touchdowns. So Achan finishes just behind Pollard, even though Achan missed at least half a season, didn't play half a season. James Conner, RB23, he missed some time. Najee Harris, RB24. If you took the risk there, it failed you, unless, you know, you just picked him up on waivers, but it wasn't there. 7 rushing touchdowns on 923 yards, nothing significant in the passing game. Josh Jacobs finishes RB25. Big disappointment there for Jacobs. There was some hesitation on him coming into the season because of the contract. He never paid off. Zach Moss, RB26. Chuba, RB27. Jalen Warren, RB28. Austin Eckler, RB29. Another big name there, taken early, that didn't pay off. Devin Singletary, RB30. Javonte Williams, didn't pay off, RB31. Tyler Allgeier, RB32. And the reason Bijan Robinson wasn't a top 10 running back. Ezekiel Elliott, RB33. Jonathan Taylor, RB34. Ramondre, RB35. There was a big disappointment in that bad Patriots offense. Then down to Kareem Hunt, RB37. Another disappointment here. Alexander Mattison, RB37 through 17 weeks, did not have a rushing touchdown. Only touchdowns were receiving. A.J. Dillon, RB38. Aaron Jones, RB39. Khalil Herbert, RB40. Tyjae Spears, RB41. For those of you who picked or rostered Spears waiting for the shoe to drop, it never did. Deontay Foreman had one or two really big games. I like Foreman. RB42. If you knew where to plug and play him, it worked, but very limited. Justice Hill, RB43. Antonio Gibson, RB44. No one else really significant after that. And sure, we'll do the kickers just because I do play with kickers in modified kicker scoring. Very simply, here's our kicker scoring. Whatever they get for their team, you get for your team. If they kick an extra point, you get 1 point. If they kick a field goal, you get 3. That's it. No bonuses, no modifications. That's it. That's our kicker scoring. What they get for their team, you get for your team. Brandon Aubrey was my kicker in the foundation, and it didn't start well. As his first kick for points in his career was the Sunday night against the Giants after the blocked field goal, scoop and score, and he missed the extra point. And even I was thinking, wait a minute, we just went through this in the playoffs with Brett Maher. Are you telling me you couldn't fix the problem? Well, we're not to the playoffs yet, but for season purposes, yeah, they fixed the problem with a soccer player from Notre Dame who made every one of his field goals, did miss a handful of extra points, but led my fantasy league in kicker scoring with 149. Justin Tucker was 2. Ironically, Tucker was my kicker in the podcast league. Greg Barker dropped him early and still stands by it. Looked me in the eye at Hooters in December and said he wasn't kicking. Yeah, it was like the Ravens forgot he was there. Tucker, 2. Jake Elliott finished 3. Jason Myers tied for 3rd. I know Myers was the kicker for Sean in the podcast league. Sean won the championship. Butker ends up 5th. Jason Sanders, 6th. Cairo Santos, 7th. And Cairo was unrostered in 90+ percent of leagues. I know kicking in Chicago with the wind in that stadium, but Cairo can do it. He just got a nice new contract, too. So he was kicker 7, Matt Gay, 8, Dustin Hopkins, 9, Jake Moody, 10, Groupie, 11. Koo, what happened? The minute Koo became the all-time leader in field goal percentage, when Tucker had a miss to fall out of that role, Koo hasn't been the same since. Then Tyler Bass, then Will Lutz, then Brandon McManus, then Dicker the kicker, Folk Zerline, McLaughlin, Evan McPherson, Anders Carlson, Boswell, Daniel Carlson. Daniel Carlson way down just because the Raiders had no offense for most of the season. Greg Joseph, and then Matt Prater. Email me. Tell me how your season went and stay in touch in the offseason, all right? Write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Again, thank you for playing fantasy football, and thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We've had a very successful 8 seasons, and I hope, with sponsor help, we will be back for a 9th season on or around August 1st. Be well.